Okay, so this the sugya of Dash. Dash is itself also an interesting malacha, which makes it pretty much just like all the other malachas, interesting and somewhat mysterious. And here, Dash, there's a lot to try to figure out. We generally try to start, when we start a new malacha, I ask you to translate it. And here, I'll ask you again, and that translation I think is particularly challenging. Somebody want to translate Dash for me?
Threshing,
terrific. What in the world is threshing? You're right that threshing is the common translation of dash, but what can we extract from threshing? How does threshing relate to our lives? How does threshing relate to anybody's lives? Sammy?
Depends on the aspect of threshing you're focusing on.
Okay, well, what is threshing in general?
Threshing in general,
separating the wheat from the chaff.
Well.
Okay.
It depends. If you have threshing where you have the entire stalk with the kernels on it, so then you're separating the kernels from the stalk, the chaff from the kernels. Both you're doing both of those.
Mm-hmm. So threshing is
an. It may not even be separating. It might just be like breaking the unit.
Oh, okay. So threshing is potentially an act of separating, particularly. Breaking a unit. So when you say breaking a unit, you're telling me it's a destructive act?
No, because it's a positive act, because you want because the breaking allows the whatever comes out to be usable.
Okay, so when you say breaking a unit, you're saying extracting something from its.
Correct, but it's not really separating, because they're still together in this whole mishmash or whatever, so then you have to do something else.
So they still maintain some connection. So as
right.
We see, there are some Rishonim who explicitly will connect this, and this is going to be my next question. If you're going to use the word separating, so separating is something we identify with Borer, and not just Borer, as we'll see. A number of malachas seem to involve separating. So how is Dash different, or how is it related? So you just alluded to the fact that some of the Rishonim also spell out that maybe Dash is step one of separating, and let's say Borer or maybe its other colleagues over there are step two. Right? We'll see this Rabbeinu Chananel, which seems to say pretty much like that. So what you're basically arguing is that it should be defined not so much as separating, but as preparing for separation. Okay. Anybody else want to take a stab at definition? Anybody else want to suggest anything in terms of trying to identify what this malacha is? Okay, so this seems to be a basic fundamental question we start off with. Right? We just really don't have such a clear picture of what this malacha is. And if we do translate it as threshing, so besides the fact that the non-farmers among us have somewhat of a reduced familiarity with the act of threshing. But we know that dash is a malacha that does come up in our daily lives at home and elsewhere, or our weekly lives at home and elsewhere, and is not limited to the farm. So since most of us probably don't, again, the non-farmers among us, don't remember really threshing too much, and yet we are confronted with a malacha of dash, so it seems that threshing has to have a broader definition that's relevant off of the farm. It's relevant to us in our households. So we need to try to find some guidance. And it's interesting that the Gemara's guidance, we have this pattern here, which is continuing still, of the Gemara singling out a malacha and then listing what some subsets, avos, tolos, meinha, whatever it is, of the malacha. So here, it does that for dash too, but that's the least helpful line in the Gemara. Right? This is out of the passages that we've seen, we will see about dash, the line that starts b'hadash is not the most helpful. It's probably the least helpful among them. And if anything, it was the Gemara that we saw two malachas ago, and we'll go back to now, the end of the Kotzer malacha that tells us a lot more, or at least gives the Rishonim a lot more to work with in terms of what dash is or might be, without really getting into it on purpose. So that's itself an interesting thing. So we have to figure out, what is the definition of dash? What does the word mean? What does it mean in terms of, you'll have to abstract it to a broader context, because we know that it's a melacha that comes up much more than just in this threshing, farming context. We also will see that it's a melacha that has quite a few toldos or aspects that are relevant in a fascinating way, really outside the farm context for sure. And we'll have to talk about that. And if we do assume that separating is to some extent an accurate definition, so then we have to figure out, how does this connect to something like borer? Is it another form of borer? Now, we've already seen that borer, we will see that borer has a couple of colleagues in its field. There are a number of melachos that seem to be about separating, and should this be just another one? Or is it a partnership? Is it that perhaps this is step one, as Danny was indicating, of what is going to be considered a process of, let's say, dash borer, or dash zore, or dash merake? So first off, do have a machlokas, Rashi and Tosis. The Rashi is harder to read than the way it's quoted. I wonder if Tosis and some of the other Rishonim had a slightly different girsa in the Rashi, because even though Rashi could be saying what Tosis is quoting it as, Tosis quotes it in a much more direct and succinct form. So let's look at Tosis first without looking at Rashi. So the Gemara had this case that we saw in the context of Kotzer, and the Gemara says that if a person throws a clump of dirt at a tree, and he knocks down some tamarim, so then he could theoretically be chayiv two different malachas. He could be chayiv tolish, which we're understanding as a tolda of kotzer, and he could be chayiv mefarik, which will translate, let's say, as stripping away. And the Gemara here doesn't mention dash, but that's what Rashi tells us, that mefarik is a tolda of dash. So there's two Tosfosin that take on this Rashi in two completely different ways. So the first Tosfos, again, without reading the rest of Rashi, so Tosfos says, "Ein niru l'ri, kamosh mefarish Rashi." So the Ri doesn't agree with Rashi's interpretation. How is Rashi's interpretation understood by Tosfos? Shemefare ka'ilan mimaso menaperis sha'alav. That here, this poor tree has got a big burden. It's got these heavy fruits dragging it down. So you are stripping it away of that burden. That's what's attributed to Rashi. While Tosfos disagrees, doesn't think that makes sense. Ela kamo shapiru shebeinu Shmuel sheyesh al hatmarim klipa hel yona. That these tamarim have a outside covering. You are releasing the tamarim from inside the covering. The heavy kemo dash, don't know exactly what to do with the kemo, but it is like dash. Shemafarik esa tvua min hashibolas. So just like when it comes to threshing, so we are uncovering something inside from some attached outer casement. So too, that's what seems to be happening here. So what's going on in this machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos? What's the fundamental difference? Is there a fundamental difference, Sammy?
I was thinking about this question: what you believe is the main purpose of dash?
Okay.
Because if you have the entire stalk with the kernels there, so there's two acts of separating that are going on. Either it's removing the kernel from the stalk, or removing the chaff from the grain.
Mm-hmm. How do you identify that as two separate things? Two different kinds of things?
I mean, because one is taking it like out of the... One is like, for example, you have an orange on a tree, right? So you take the orange off the tree, mm-hmm. but you still have the skin on it, so you have to remove the skin. So same thing with the kernel of wheat. You have to remove the kernel of wheat from the stalk, mm-hmm. and you have to remove the chaff from the wheat in order to get to the...
So the stalk here, you mean the stalk represents the tree?
Correct. So Rashi is saying that it's the stalk, it's the removing of the kernel from the stalk. Mm-hmm. And Tosfos is saying, no, that it's the removal of the chaff from the kernel.
Right, but what is the difference between those two models? Is there a reason to pick one over the other?
even though you take it off the stock, you still can't eat it. Rashi.
Okay, so you maybe say, so you understand dash. Right, so you're saying dash is about preparing something to be eaten. Even though you may not be ready to eat yet either. If we understand that there's going to be a dash borer connection,
right,
you might need borer before dash. So right, it's hard to define dash specifically as bringing it to that stage. Although it brings it further. It brings to us a tikkun of making it now borerable.
Correct.
And on the tree, it's not borerable. So what is Tosfos understand? What does Rashi understand, rather?
Rashi would understand that it could be two different. You could say that it's two different things that you would be chayav for.
That any time you're separating something from some outer covering, whether it's a tree, whether it's inside a fruit, whether it's any structure like that, is already going to be an active yisha. So you also have the question, this is probably implicit in the Ran's statement. If you see the Ran over here, the Ran on the Rif, so the Ran doesn't like Rashi so much, not personally in terms of this, and the Ran asks why, according to Rashi, should it be specifically tamarim? You could have this by other types of items as well. And the Ran suggests that basically you have the tamarim are in a clump or in a cluster on the tree, and that when you knock down that cluster, so then that's the first act, that's the act of tolesh. And when it hits the ground, so then it breaks up over there, and that's the act of mefarim. Which is an idea we saw, we mentioned other Rishonim have this idea as well. We mentioned tangentially that it's interesting that you should be chayiv for that, that you should be chayiv for knocking something off a tree and then having it hit the ground and do a malacha. That would seem to be an example of, what did that sound like?
Kocho,
right? Two degrees of kocho. And we had mentioned in the past the Or Sameach, who finds it questionable if there is a possibility to be mechayiv for koach kocho on Shabbos, because maybe it's too little of your maisa, it's too separated from your direct action. If we assume that a malacha on Shabbos requires a direct action, not just you're bringing about something, so we're not really sure that koach kocho should count for that. So that was a side question. But it seems like there's also... Jonathan?
So isn't the Pasha, so why does the Ran have to have such a question like that? Can't you say that Rashi is talking about tomorrow because that was the issue of the Gemara, the Nikla tree?
Yeah, it could be. But it sounds like the Gemara is identifying that specifically. So within Rashi's interpretation, he wants to know why does that have to be identified as the case. You could say in the Hanami that's the case. So there also seems to be somewhat an issue here whether or not you can have dash on something that's connected to the ground. Right? That if you have something that's mechubar lekarka, so you have something that's mechubar to the tree, which is mechubar to the karka, so can you have disha in such a case?
You mentioned the disha by something that's mechubar lekarka.
Well, because the question if you can be mefarik by knocking tamarim off the tree, if that can be an act of dash. And if maybe other Rishonim find that difficult and are trying to work around that, so what's the issue there? So one issue is that it seems to be very hard to distinguish between dash and kotzer, which are going to say that taking something off a tree could be called dash. Although, again, maybe you don't have to distinguish. Maybe you could say that you could be chayiv both. And you could, that it's not unprecedented. You could say that if you take something off a tree, it's both an act of kotzer and an act of dash. There are those who suggest, Rav Osner has a tshuva about this, where, you know, in general it's complicated when we have two actions that come at the same time, when you could be chayiv two, when you could be chayiv one, how much kavanah you need, as we saw with Zomer, Vitzarach, Leitzim, etc. So he does suggest within the mindset of those who find it difficult to call this dash when you take it off a tree, is that if you have one action and that action has two effects, but the two effects, one has a clearly tufil role to the other. It's not, for example, let's say in the case of Zomer Letzarech Leitzim, Zomer Letzarech Leitzim, so you have a Zoreya effect and you have a Kotzer effect, and those are really two completely separate effects if you're interested in them both. So we could say you're chayiv in both. But here, if you want to call this both kotzer and dash, So they're essentially seeming to be the same kind of thing, but kotzer is more significant here than you're not just separating something, but you're separating it from its source of its growth. So maybe the kotzer overwhelms the dash. Maybe if that's the case, you have two malachas happening really simultaneously and really occupying all the same space, and one is clearly secondary to the other, so then maybe that dominates. So maybe even if theoretically it fits the requirements to be called dash, but maybe that'll be called kotzer. And if you separate from something that's already talish, it's already separated from the tree, so you take something out of its covering, maybe we'll call that dash, even though you're right, otherwise it could have been dash also even off of the tree. Yes, sir.
So isn't that only a problem for the question for the Ron, according to Rashi and Tosfos? It's the same thing, whether it's from a tree or whether it's from a plant.
Well, according to
the Ron's dealing with the gravity suggestion.
Well, yeah, the gravity issue, but according to Tosfos, it's not necessarily the dash part. It doesn't come in the fact that you're separating it from the tree. It comes from the fact that you're separating it from its covering, which is already from the tree, already being separated from the tree.
So it's irrelevant.
So even if it happens essentially simultaneously, right, you've separated the tamarim from the tree, and that's the act of kotzer. But also, the tamarim, besides being separated from the tree, they're being separated from their own covering, which is different than the tree. So that's the act of dash. Within Rashi, it sounds like the separating from the tree is the act of dash. So that's where you have a difference. Hi.
Why is over tsar plates and one is not coupled to the other?
Because there you have two completely different types of goals going on which don't really overlap. You're interested in making this plant grow better, and you have use for the wood, which you are obtaining while you're doing this. So it's two things that happen to happen at once, but they're not even related actions. Obtaining the wood and enhancing the growth of the tree, they are happening at the same time, but they have very little to do with each other. Here we have an act of separating A from B. So even if I would do that on a fruit, so that would be called dash. So you'll say, okay, so if I do it on a tree, it's also called dash. So you're right, but it's called dash, but it's also kotzer, and the kotzer is the more significant purpose, and it includes this whole process, so that'll be our dominant attention. So maybe it could be a question, either that you could restrict dash to things that are already separated, don't include it within the realm of disconnecting from trees and the like, or you could say theoretically it could be, but the tree overwhelms it. So it's also interesting, just to highlight what I was saying before in terms of Sammy's comment. So there is a definition which is put forward by Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel here ends up on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, even though it's talking about the Gemara on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. So here he basically defines Hadash in the context of the same Gemara, the Gemara at the end of the Kotzer discussion. So says Rabbeinu Chananel, and the Aruch says something very similar to this. It says, Hadash shu hamafarek hapsolas hamechuberes ba'ochel u'mechinasan lebreira o kevara, puts in brackets here, which is Zriya, Zora, o bahar kada. So essentially, what's the definition of dash according to him? So you have something which is attached, and essentially you have a psolas ochel relationship. You have a food item which is made up of edible food and waste matter, and they are connected, and you are detaching them. And by detaching them, you're not necessarily going to be ready to eat it, because now you still have to do borer. So the three different types of borer list there, borer, zorer, merakeg, they are all going to be necessary, potentially, but that dash is the preparation for that. So that's a major definitional statement. It's also interesting, we'll get into this a little bit more, but there's possibly a girsa difference between the Ran and the Gemara that we have, the Miuchas L'Ran, which is very interesting. The Gemara, the next Gemara that we'll have to start with next semester, the Gemara which tries to figure out what the difference is between the next three Malachas, Zorah, Borer, and Merake. So the Gemara asks, what's the difference between all of those? So if you look at the Ran and the Miuchas L'Ran, so he seems to have a different girsa, because he has Dush as one of the three. So it seems that he understands Dush as being really fundamentally similar to Borer, essentially a colleague of Borer, and we have to come up with a technical explanation as to why they're listed separately in the Mishnah. While the Girsa that we have here in the Bavli doesn't necessarily present it that way. So we'll get into that a little bit more, but it seems again to be a question. It is maybe Dosh basically the same thing as Borer, it's about separating good from bad? Or is it a different kind of separating? It's a separating of something that is connected physically. While Borer is not about physical connection, it's about a mixture that's there, but they're not actually attached. And maybe they have a complementary relationship, that maybe Dosh is what we do in order to then be able to now Borer them, as Rabbeinu Hananel sees it. So it seems Rabbeinu Hananel, for example, in the Ran, are probably seeing this Malacha in different ways. Hi.
Then you also the Ran that he replaces the Dush with those, so he only has 38 Malachas?
No, just this line in the Gemara, that when the line in the Gemara that says the three are the same, Hainu Zora, Hainu Bora, Hainu Merake, right, so he puts Dush in there as one of the three. Right. And while we're at it, so we should also look at the Rambams put on the list here. So the Rambam, when he defines things, so he has an interesting discussion as well. Right, if you look at Hilchos Shabbos in Perek Zayin, so he writes, Hadash kegrogris chayiv, so that if you do the malacha of dash on a grogris, you are chayiv. The Ein Disha Ela B'Gedulei Karka, which seems to be a machlokas in the Gemara, that's on defining Hey and Aleph, and discussion of whether or not we restrict Disha to Gedulei Karka, and that's also something we'll come up to in a second. We're going to have to, again, define what exactly our reason would be to limit it to Gedulei Karka, some discussion we've seen already by Kotzer and by Ma'amer. V'hamefarei karehu told us Hadash, V'chayev v'chen kol kayotze b'zeh. So Mufarik is a tolda here, as Rashi had said. And Hachole v'sabahema, Chayev mishum Mufarik. And this is something we'll see the next toast was talking about in a second, that if you milk an animal, so that is an aspect of Mufarik. V'chen hachovel b'chay, sheyesh lo'or, Chayev mishum Mufarik. And if you wound an animal, so now you're extracting blood, so then that's going to also be an act of mefarik. Yes?
Why does it need an or?
Why?
I don't understand why there needs to be an or. Why does he say that specifically? Who cares? It shouldn't matter.
It's a good question. It seems to do with how the blood is extracted, I assume. I don't know if there's more to it.
So meaning it might be because of the tzorah or something else?
That's what I thought, but I'm not sure if there's more to it or not. But so here you have these two important malachos which are related, which are aspects of Mufarik, Cholev and Chovel, the same letter switched around, but two important separate ideas, which are applying in very different realms of life, where we also apparently have Dosh coming up. And then the Rambam adds, V'husha yiyat sarach ladam, she'etze menachabura, and that is specifically because he needs the blood that's going to be extracted. Aval and Niskavin, Ahazik Bulvad, Pater Bipneshahu Mekalkia, right? And this is the Rambam speaking, right? The Rambam who is Mechayev in Malachashin Tzrucha Lagufa. And here he says that if you don't need the blood, but you're just trying to hurt the animal, so then that's called Mekalkia. And again, this is consistent with the idea that even Rabbi Yehuda, who is Mechayev in Malachashin Tzrucha Lagufa, as is the Rambam, but there is a point where something is either Mekalkel, or so far removed from the purpose that it's not even the malacha, and even the Rambam / Rabbi Yehuda would agree you would be pater, so apparently that's the case. If you're just trying to hurt the animal, you'd be pater, but if you're interested in the blood, so then that's going to be mefarik. V'ein chayav ad sheyeh b'dam o b'chalav shehotzei kegrogris. And in terms of the shear, so the Ravid gets upset about this, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Then the Rambam goes on to say, "B'med varim amurim b'chovel b'heim v'chayv ofchiyotze b'hem, aval b'chovel b'chaveiro. If you hurt your friend, so then you're going to be chayv. Afal pish niskavim lahazik chayv. So this is a fascinating idea. Why are you chayv for that? B'pnei nachas rucho shavei niskara daito v'shachcha chamoso. It's a Purim term. Varehu kimitakein. So that appears in the Megillah. Right? So that is, if you intend to hurt your friend, so then that's an act of tikkun, which is a fascinating idea. And then we don't have the requirement. You're going to be chayiv, even though you're not interested in the dam. And then to skip for a second to Yud. So then he goes on to say in Halacha Yud that there is yet another very crucial aspect of Dash, one that comes up all the time. Schita. And this I put on the Mar Makoma, so I wasn't sure exactly how to do it. It's a long sugya. If you want to have a proper exposure to the sugya of Sochet, of Schita, so it's really two blot later on. Kufmem Gimel to Kufmem Hey. That's those whole two blot talk about some of the basics of Schita. So here Rambam says, Sochet is haperus lahotzi mimei and chayiv mishum nefarik. If you're interested in taking the water out of the, taking the juice out of the fruits, so then you are chayiv because of nefarik. Ve'en chayiv achim mashkin shesochet ki grogeris, and you have to be interested in taking an amount that is equal to a grogeris. Okay, and then he goes on to say a little more about this, and he talks about Cholev, and we'll come back to some of that. Okay, fine. So all of these are important definitional points about what Dosh could mean. And then we get into the question of what about Gedulei Karka? So here, this aspect of Cholev that the Rambam just had talked about, so Tosfos gets upset about that also. And the second Tosfos, Tosfos Mefarik, so it's interesting that in the first Tosfos wasn't worried about this. The second Tosfos is worried that he objects to Rashi's, not only Rashi's model, but the whole connection of Mefarik to Dash. Right? The Gemara didn't say Dash, the Gemara said Mefarik. So Tosfos says, if you're going to say Mefarik is Dash, hold on a second, I got a problem with that. Now what's the problem with that? That we know that Mefarik is the source for Cholev. It's the source for milking. And if you're going to tell me that milking is mefarik and mefarik is dash, so then we got a problem, because it comes out, if we assume from that this is the dominant opinion on Ayin Hey and Aleph, that ain disha ela begedulei karka, so then how do you have cholev? Cholev is talking about animals or human beings, so it's presumably not gedulei karka. So how are we able to apply cholev to not gedulei karka if Cholev is derived from Dutch? This is what Tosfos is worried about. This is a topic we talked about a little bit in the context of Koser, and that Tosfos basically rejects the idea here that is found elsewhere, that maybe Behemoth could be considered Gedulei Karka, and Tosfos doesn't really give that very much credence. Tosfos basically dismisses that, even though other Rishonim are more accepting of it, and it could be the Rambam is one of them. We mentioned in the context of Kotzer that the Magid Mishnah understands that's how the Rambam works, that the Rambam believes Ein Disha Ela Gedulei Karka, but believes that Behemoth could qualify as Gedulei Karka, and therefore for the Rambam, his Cholev idea could work, but for Rashi, claims Tosfos, it's more difficult. Sammy?
Yeah, what I didn't understand was, I mean, it seemed like the only reason that Tosfos disregarded the possibility of Behemoth being Gedulei Karka is because of the Gemara and Bava Metzia, and for some reason, therefore, you have to assume that Dash is something that's Davka Gedulei Karka Mamish.
Okay, so let's explain that a little bit. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia talks about the prohibition of Sachshim Shor B'disho, that we have to allow an animal or a worker to eat while he's in the process of disho, while he's in the process of threshing. So we allow him to partake of the food. We can't muzzle him. So there are limitations to what it applies, what's called disho and what's not called disho. And there, disho has to be Gedulei Karka. And the Rishonim there discuss, can we possibly say that animals and the like are considered to be Gedulei Karka, and they're not so thrilled about it.
Well, no, I mean, seemingly you brought the Gemara that said that it can't be a behemoth holy.
That's what it sounds like from the Gemara.
Right, right. So, but I'm saying, he brought the Gemara in Erevin, that says explicitly that behemoths are Gedulei Karka and not fish, mm-hmm. right?
So if that's the case, and that was that, I don't remember what that exactly was talking about, but why would we assume that it would be the same rules for Shabbos as it is for...
Oh, so very good. So not everyone is so convinced it should be the same.
Right. I mean, a lot of Rishonim don't say that.
Right. So
Moses himself, in the next three lines, rejects it. So what?
Right. So there is a discussion in a lot of Sfarim about that, whether or not that should be the same. So Sammy's point is that a lot of this question comes from comparing the Dosh, the Malach on Shabbos, to the threshing that goes on in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, where the Gemara says your animal, your worker is involved in threshing, you have to allow him to eat, and there threshing is limited to Gedulei Karka. So why might you say the rules for Shabbos should be different?
Because it's talking about Malach, not necessarily.
Okay, so why is the definition of Dosh different for a Malach than for a worker?
No, because there it's talking about what he can eat. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, it's not saying that he's not doing work when he does Kholei, but it's not saying that he's not working on to do the carpet, so that he can't eat it.
But it's still delimiting the process of Tisha.
So
why should we delimit it there? If we define Tisha in one way in that context, why shouldn't we define Tisha in this context differently?
I'm saying we define Behemoth as the carpet and more Arab than also.
Right.
So
we have differences.
We have precedents to say that.
Say there's a distinction.
Yeah.
How would you explain it? Why would you say that in Shabbos we'll define Disha one way and in working in your field Disha will be defined differently? So some want to say that Mekedesh Mishnah says that, and others point out that Shabbos is different because there are toldos. So maybe Disha is one thing, but maybe toldos have a different rule, and therefore Cholev being a tolda of Mepharek, being a tolda of Dosh, maybe doesn't have to follow the same pattern. Maybe it has to comparable to a certain extent, but maybe Dosh has to only be Gedulei Karka, and maybe Cholev doesn't. That's how some suggest. The Aruch Liner, the Rebbe Tzvi Ettlinger, who we'll talk about a little bit more tomorrow, the Aruch Liner suggests that there's a difference between the Disha of L'Sachtam Shor B'Disho and the Disha of Shabbos. The Aruch Liner, by the way, in a Yevamos Unity moment, is in Yevamos and Daf Kuf Yudalad Amun Aleph. So the Aruch Liner notes that in the context of L'Sachtam Shor B'Disho, so there the Torah uses the word Disho. So threshing in general has a certain definition. But when it comes to Shabbos, so the Torah never uses the word Disha. This is the Mishnah using the word Dosh based on some kind of Mishkan comparison. So we're not obligated to have the same definition. Right, which raises the question in general. We've talked a little bit in the past. If we have an action which has a definition in Shabbos and has a definition elsewhere, so do we have to assume the definitions are the same? So specifically here, you could say not, because the fact that we use the word dash in the Mishnah doesn't mean that the dash has to match. It could just mean that the Mishnah is trying to find a good word to identify what was done in the Mishkan, and that doesn't necessarily have to comport with the usage of dash elsewhere. So there are those who think, okay, so whatever is in the context of L'Sachtam Shor B'Disho doesn't necessarily have to follow through the same way. Maybe we could have a broader definition for the purposes of Shabbos. Hi.
The Rekedus Mishnah, which is saying isn't it told?
No, the point is that the tolda itself, the tolda doesn't necessarily have to match the av exactly. It could be that the av is restricted to Gedulei Karka, and that the tolda itself maybe doesn't have to be restricted to Gedulei Karka.
Is it meaning that the tolda of the tolda?
No, it means that the tolda itself doesn't necessarily have to be. It could be that you're dealing with a tolda to tolda here anyway. That's itself a separate question, separate from the Mekedesh Mishnah. That if you want to read that Cholev, we say Cholev is Mishum Mefarik, so then maybe Cholev is a tolda of Mefarik, and maybe Mefarik is a tolda of Dosh, and then you already have a grand tolda problem, which again we saw in the past was Machlokas, whether or not they could exist. But that's an issue already. That's not the Mekedesh Mishnah's problem. Mekedesh Mishnah is just saying that since we're dealing here with a tolda, then maybe you're right, the av, dosh, is limited to Gedulei Karka. Maybe the tolda doesn't have that same limitation. And here the Aruch Lanier's point is that again the definitions don't have to match, particularly in terms of this context of dash, because Lo Sachsim Shor B'Disha, the Torah identifies disha, and therefore it has a certain definition. And maybe when it comes to the Melacha of Shabbos, that's just the word we're giving it because of we're trying to name what this Mishkanian action was. Hi.
Could you also maybe differentiate because by Cholev Koil you can't eat it before you actually do the Maisa Cholev, when you're pulling off a Kapri or something like that, you could eat it before taking it off the Kapri.
If you want to
it's
say
it's edible as is.
Right, if you want to say, if you want to get around the whole Gedulei Karka discussion, just focus on the specific.
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between the two cases. You know, one you're dealing with, you know, Cholev Behemoth, which you can't eat. And anyways, when you do the Cholev, that's going into the Kalim of the Baal Bais anyways immediately, but versus with the Pri, you have a separation between, you know, the time you pull it off the tree and put it in the Kalim.
Yeah, it could be, again, if you want to just look at the specifics of each situation and judge it that way rather than, you know, that kind of evades the whole Gedulei Karka kind of question. We also mentioned when we talked about Kotzer that it could be that the definitions might be different, that when we talk about Kotzer, we may have a stricter definition of Gedulei Karka because the act of Kasiru was done at the Karka stage. But when we talk about Disha, or we talk about Tochen, let's say, so there, the malacha is happening after it's already been detached from the karka. So maybe we can allow ourselves a broader definition of what's called gedulei karka anyway, and maybe that's a possibility. It's also interesting that in terms of cholev, so I mentioned a second ago the possibility is a grand tolda, maybe it's even less than that. Maybe it's a derabbanan. So Rav Schechter mentions in Tinkin Bikvei Atzom that it's possible that even if you say Ein Disha El B'Gedulei Karka, there's still an Issur D'Rabbanan, not B'Gedulei Karka. And it's interesting that there are Rishonim who seem to maintain that Cholev may itself actually be a Shvus D'Rabbanan. So, for example, if you look in the Rashba, at the Rashba and Daf Tzadi Hei, I put it out in my Makomos, but if you get a chance to look, it's very Kedai, because he has a lot about this. So, the Rashba and Tzadi Hei Yaman Aleph, Cholev Chayiv Mishum Mefarik, so he has an important discussion about this, and in the context of this discussion he quotes Rav Haigon where he basically sounds like this is essentially a Shvus D'Rabbanan, and that would address Tosis's Kasha as well, that in the Chanami you write Ein Disha El B'Gedulei Karka, and the problem of Cholev, maybe Cholev Taka is not exactly Disha, maybe it's a Shvus D'Rabbanan, which again would have other nafkaminas if that were the case, and the Chazon Ish has a discussion about this, because questions of Cholev on Shabbos come up all the time, and questions of Tsar and Cholev, both in terms of human Tsar and in terms of animal Tsar, is a major issue. So it's an issue that's debated all the time, so if one were to assume that it's an Issur D'Rabbanan, so then that would significantly affect things. Okay, so when we try again to define the act of dash, so to try to figure out, and we'll spend the next few minutes trying to focus on this, so to what extent does it relate to borer? Is it different than borer? Is it an act of borer? Is it an act of preparation from borer? So there are a couple of interesting details. For example, if we want to posit that the definition of dash is that it's connected, while borer means it's mixed in. So that might help us have a different hagdara. Not everybody necessarily agrees to that hagdara. So for example, the Egle Tal asserts that it doesn't matter whether the item is attached or whether it's inside. If it's wrapped around, but it's not necessarily connected, you know, or rattle around inside, either way you're going to have dash. And there is a surprising, and that's a little more acceptable, there is a surprising view of the Aruch. The Aruch says that even if it's not fully detached, if you detach it a little bit, but you don't fully detach it, so you're still Chayiv Mishum Dash. That's really interesting, because then you're not really separating it. Maybe you're advancing it towards separation, but you're not really separating it. So that's itself very interesting to consider. That might be considered to be Dash. So one way to look at some of these details, there's an interesting discussion about this, by the way, if you look in Rabbi Eliav Silverman's Sefer, Meshav Nefesh, So one question that comes up is, we'll see from the Gemara coming up, that when it comes to Borer, so one of the things that makes Borer work, makes it acceptable, is a heter called Borer La'alter. That if you are doing the Borer for immediate usage, so then that can, under the proper circumstances, make that permissible. Or it's one of the possibilities, one of the aspects that makes it permissible. So is there a heter of Dosh La'alter? You're going to do dash for immediate purposes. Does that make it mutter? So that's an important question. That's a major machlokus. So the Rashba and his Chuvis, it's on the Marmakomos, so the Rashba and his Chuvis does apply the heter of the altar not only to Borer, but also to dash and to Tofeng. And the Taz follows this as well. But the Magen Avraham doesn't assume there is such a heter. The Magen Avraham assumes that the La'alter is not something that makes a difference in the context of Dash. So what's that about? What's the whole La'alter issue about? You know, we'll have to get into this more a little bit in the context of Borer. So to apply La'alter to Dash may mean that you're seeing Dash basically as a Borer colleague, somebody who works in the same field as Borer. Or it could really be a statement about the altar. It could be that certain things that are done on the altar, certain things that are done for immediate usage, that's called derech achila. So in the context of borer, for example, so when you pick up ochel mitoch psolas, you pick up the food out of the non-food part, or out of the non-desirable part. So if you're not going to eat it now, so then you're creating a tikkun, you're separating the good from the bad. But if you're going to eat it immediately, that's called eating. Eating is you pick up what you want and you eat it. So that makes it into derech achila, and maybe that's just a general concept which could work for a number of malachas. If what you're doing would otherwise be a malacha, but your purpose is to put this food in your mouth immediately, so maybe that becomes derech achila rather than a number of malachas. Maybe it's not really a borer detail as much as it's that if something is derech achila, it focuses on that rather than its malacha overlap. So that's a question to ask in general about the whole la'alter heter, but it also may reflect somewhat on what exactly dash is about. Hi.
I mean, where the machlokas taz and Magen Avraham was talking about a case where it was boser, where it's not really edible beforehand. You don't really eat them. I mean, maybe on the shas of the chak, you might be able to eat a grape that's boser, so how would that... How is it that the fact that it's la'alter changes the boser from something that's not really edible to something
that is? How does the la'alter make it? How does the la'alter make it better?
Yeah, that's what I didn't really understand.
Because maybe that's why also I think it focuses more on the la'alter than the boser part. That maybe even though you're accomplishing something significant at the same time, but if this is the way you eat, so then the derech achila part makes it mutter, makes it not a malacha, even if it happens to be that you're accomplishing an act that would otherwise be a malacha. So the fact that you have a significant impact is secondary to the fact that this is a normal way of eating, and a normal way of eating is some type of broad license. If you acknowledge that whole idea, again, the Magen Avraham disagrees. But to the extent you accept that, that might be the case. Yes, sir.
According to that, why would you have a broad statement in regards to dash? You could say some things that is that eat it right away with this dash action, some things it doesn't have to be like that.
Which statement are you questioning?
If we say that, like, Magen Avraham that's saying that it's usur always with dash.
Right.
So according to this idea, that's because of derech achila.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some cases where you do things right immediately.
Right, if you're machmir on this, I was saying that within the Rashba, within the Taz. If you say like the Magen Avraham, it seems to say that you don't think it's a broader derech achila type of heter, but that's an aspect of borer, that borer becomes negated when it's la'alter, and maybe dash is not similar to borer. The whole idea of gedulei karak also seems to differentiate it from borer. You know, when it comes to borer, so we don't seem to have any such requirement. As a whole discussion, we'll see whether borer is limited to ochlin or not, but doesn't seem to be limited to gedulei karak. So the notion of gedulei karka, which again we've seen for a couple of malachas here, maybe it links Kitzira and Ma'amer and Dash, but doesn't necessarily seem to relate to any type of borer connection. So, and again, it's a machlokas whether or not that is the maskana that A and B show gedulei karka. But that's an interesting thing to keep in mind as well. What would you say about, we alluded to this a minute ago, what about a partial dash? So let's say you separate a little bit, but it's not totally ready. You take off some of the covering. But it still has... Yeah, let's say you break off a piece of the covering, and it still has other covering on it, so it's not really ready yet. So what's the din by borer there, yeah?
It's connected to motor, then what you did is basically worthless.
Oh, right, so that's part of the question. Right, so if you assume in the context of Borer, so it sounds like we'll get into this again more in Borer, but there is a statement in the Yerushalmi, which may not be the bottom line, but the Yerushalmi has a statement that you could do Borer all day and not be chayv. Right, do you see this? It was on the Maramakomos, a person could sit all day and pick out pieces of psoles and not be chayv. And Karban Ha'ed explains why would he be chayv if he's sitting and doing Borer all day? So the Karbonate explains because he's left some solas there. That apparently, the Yerushalmi at least, requires a perfect tikkun for it to be borer. You have to really successfully separate all the ochal from the psolas. And if you haven't done that, so according to the Yerushalmi, it's not borer. So would this be the case also when it comes to dash? Is dash the same kind of thing? Or is it, maybe it's not about that at all. Maybe it's about uncovering something, and it's not necessarily about fully separating it. I think Sandy was up first.
Well, I mean, over there it seemed.
Okay. Donnie?
I was going to say, in terms of comparing to other malachas we saw, and you were showing me talking about Matliya by Zoreh, that just taking out one could be a problem.
Right. That definitely is an interesting comparison, although there we saw a question also, and actually that question was also framed as far as the comparison to Borer. Right, so there also, what Don is referring to, is all in the context of Zoreh, that taking a worm out of a plant, or taking worms out of a plant, could be an act of Zoreh, it sounds like, from Yerushalmi. And the question is, so if that's the idea, taking away these bad things instead of just helping, but taking away problems, is an act of Zoreh. So do you have to take away all the problems? Or do you have to take away, even if you take away some of the problems and you leave other problems, maybe it's still Zoreh. So that actually was asked, Dafka, in contrast to this, that when it comes to Borer, so the Rishalmi seems to say it's got to be everything. When it comes to the Yerushalmi statement about Zoreh, it sounded like the way we were leaning then that any act of taking away one worm would be considered an act of Zoreh, even though you may be leaving a lot of other worms that are still causing problems. Another interesting field for comparison would be that when we learn Borer, we'll see that we use the terms Ochel and Psoles. There's what you want and what you don't want. But those terms are relative. Right? It doesn't mean that ochel can't be psolas and psolas can't be ochel. It means that what you want is called ochel, is called food, and what you don't want is called psolas, is called the bad stuff. Even though the bad stuff could also be edible, but you're interested in one more than the other. So food, what's technically food, ends up getting called psolas. So this is a very important question in the context of dash. So what happens if you're separating one part from the other, but they're both edible? Like this was a discussion, if you saw in the Magen Avraham, Magen Avraham was talking about the peanut shells, how to take shells out of the peanuts. And he's assuming, he says that maybe there's grounds to allow it, he's assuming that the shell is also edible. So his, let's Metzias issue aside, so he's basically saying that if you're separating ochel from ochel here, then that's not going to be dash. That it's only dash when it's some type of actual objective psoles. But if it's edible in both parts, so then that's not going to necessarily fit into this definition. While the Magen Avraham quotes the Ma'ariel, who says the opposite. The Ma'ariel disagrees, and the Ma'ariel says that even if the outside is edible, then it's still going to be considered dash. It's still going to be considered an act of separation, and he wouldn't allow that. Sammy?
It seemed to me that in the Magen Avraham he was saying that it should be dash, but people don't do that anyway, so therefore he was trying to be like trying to give them a svar that they're not totally wrong.
Right, he was coming after the fact, that's true.
Right, so does he hold that it's mutter or aser?
He leaves you with a maril, right? That's how it's...
Yeah, I think that comes afterwards.
Right, so it's hard to know what his maskana is. And he has lamed chus first on those who do it, then quotes the maril. It's a good question what his bottom line is. We've also seen, this is something we've seen in the past, we'll just reiterate, the possibility when it comes to dash, that if you're not interested in what you're getting out of it, then maybe that's not called dash at all, which is also going to be significant to understanding the definition. We saw this in at least two places, right? We saw it in Tosfos Zomer V'Sarach L'Eitzim, that Tosfos drew that comparison when he says that if you're not interested in the wood, then it's not even called the Malacha. So if you recall, at the end of that Tosfos, he quotes the Gemara in Kuf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, where he says that's also what you get from Dash, that if you're not interested in what's being squeezed out, in the case of Shechita, so... Says Tosfos over there, well, why should we allow it? Shouldn't we say it's a malach shein shvicha legufa? No, ela taim lefish ein derech disha bekach. That when you're not interested in what comes out of it, that's not called disha. And we saw this also possibly in the Ran. We mentioned the Ran that was quoted as saying that was interpreted as saying that a toldish and shvicha legufa is not a malacha. Also in the context of shechita. Right, so there the Ran says that if you have a cloth plug in a jug of wine, that even though it's going to end up squeezing out some wine, so then that's okay, because so you're not interested in the wine. And that Ran was interpreted by many as saying it's schita is a tolda, and since you're not interested in the wine, it's a tolda shein shvicha legufa, it's okay. And you may recall that Egle Tal didn't like that at all. Egle Tal says it's not an acceptable chiddush, and you have to assume that what the Ran is saying is, no, again, it's definitional in terms of Disha, that if you're not extracting anything that is useful, anything that you want, that's not called Disha. That's going to be a major issue. The problem is also, you have to figure out that we also mentioned, we talked about Malachash and Tzricha L'Gufa, that some Rishonim, such as the Ramban, seem to understand. We talked about shaving and cutting nails. And there we said that some Rishonim would say that you're cutting your nails, so that's a malacha shein tzricha legufa, because you're not interested in the nails, you're interested in clean fingers. You're not interested in the hair that you shave off your face, you're interested in a shaven face. But we saw that the Ramban didn't have that definition, and we're going to get into this more in the context of Borer and Zohar, that he sees a wider plane here. That all the parts that you're dealing with are considered to be relevant, your face and the hair. So since you're interested in improving your face, that's a malacha tzricha legufa. Since you're interested in grooming your fingers, that's called a malacha tzricha legufa. So too here, when you separate the two parts, it could be that they're both considered to be your playing field, so to speak. So if you're improving that which you are squeezing, let's say even if you're not interested in what's squeezed out, but you're interested in what you are squeezing to be free of this liquid, it could be that might also be considered tzricha legufa or your primary goal. And we'll have to get into that a little bit more next week. Rav Si Pesach Frank, sorry, Gil?
With the cutting the nails, mm-hmm. Do we also see something that the cutting the nails was also something that they did in the Mishkan?
Right, so that is the shearing of the wool, right? The Rivash understood it like that.
But just for the sake of that, so then it would be unique to
that
closes. And not
to
anything else?
Right, it could be. But in the context, and we'll get into this more in terms of Borer, it's going to come up again, that's what the Ran, and in Zohar, it's going to come up a lot. We're beginning next semester, we'll talk about this a lot. But that's, the Ramban touches upon all of this, that if you have you shouldn't just assume, okay, I'm interested in A, nails, the hair. It's A and B, they make one unit. The nails and the fingers, the hair and the face. And so to here could be that both elements of what's being squeezed and what's being squeezed out, what's being uncovered and what's being taken away, maybe this is all our playing field, and therefore if I'm improving either of them, maybe that is a core definition.
Even if you look at it as a broader core definition question,
mm-hmm.
There's a difference between cutting something and then squeezing. Squeezing, at least, in the Gisha form seems to be very much about what's being evacuated or what's being extracted. It's hard to say that the empty space or whatever is being created is, even if that is beneficial, that that's part of the definition. To say that for, say,
maybe not, because you know when you're shaving, you're also ridding away the hair. I mean, is that necessarily?
Yeah, but the seer is not, but that's not per se. There's no value attached to, by definition, the byproduct. Unless you want to say.
I mean, normally there is a value.
Only in Disha so far does it seem like there's a strong value on the byproduct.
Well, why not with Hotzer if you're interested in taking the. There actually is a very issue where they may be very parallel. That's actually why Tosus brings Disha in the context of Kotzer. That Tosus over Vesarach Leitz and Mazdav comparing the two.
So
for that.
Even by Disha, that you're creating a much bigger.
Right, it could be that there is. Right, it could be. It's unlikely. There is a strong view that the Disha does have this exclusion. And like I said, this is going to be very practical, and we'll fill this in on Monday. And we alluded to this in the past already because it came up in the Melach Shin Shrif Lugufa discussion. But let's say for a woman who needs to pump on Shabbos and Yantif comes up all the time. And so there, if she's not so interested in the milk, but she's interested in relieving her suffering or other related things, this potential infection, also the other reasons to do it. So then there's a whole range of practical aids, but they draw on, is this a Malacha Shein Shrich L'Gufa? Or maybe even less than a Malacha Shein Shrich L'Gufa, maybe since if you're not interested in the milk at all, so maybe that's not called Disha, and again here, especially if you say Cholev is a Drabanan, you're going to have even more grounds, but there's a lot to figure out based on that. But it all could come to this basic definitional issue of to what extent is Disha about separating things, to what extent is Disha about extracting things, to what extent are we focusing on all of that. Tzvi Pesach Frank has a interesting tshuva. Maybe we'll talk about this more a little bit next week. We will we'll end on this point and we'll just quickly review what we spoke about. But Tzvi Pesach Frank suggests in one of his tshuvas in Zimun Kuf Tzadi in Or HaChaim that maybe Dosh is also limited, at least on a Torah level, to when, say, in the context of Tiza Schita example, where the liquid is naturally a part of the item. But if the liquid was absorbed into the item and now you want to squeeze it out, maybe that's not called Dosh, at least on a Torah level. Because maybe that's the whole nature of Dosh, is to extract two things that are naturally connected, and maybe if they're artificially connected, if they were brought together later, then to separate them, maybe that's not called dash, which clearly is not a distinction that exists in the context of Borer. Right. So once again, if you're going to say like that, that's going to push us in a different definition than you find in the context of Borer. So just, yes, Gil?
How far does naturally extend? Like if people make like a hybrid fruit, natural.
Yeah, I think that would also be considered natural. I think what he's saying is that if you have a liquid that's not there by itself, it's that you this item absorbed the liquid. You decided to drench your fruit in chicken soup, and now you want to squeeze it out. And that's not going to necessarily be a definition of skita. Yeah,
hi. You would never be able to practically do that, because any time you would, say, squeeze out the chicken soup, you would probably by accident or secretion squeeze out some of the regular fruit itself.
maybe, and it could be it's going to be necessary to drop out in any way possible, but right. But then, if you're doing that, then you're also going to get into maybe malachshin and shiuchel gufa questions. If you're not interested in squeezing out what's there naturally, or maybe there isn't anything in it naturally. Maybe it doesn't have any natural liquids inside. It's possible too. Yeah, it's also possible there isn't anything that's squeezeable from a natural perspective. Okay, so let's just try to quickly review some of what we spoke about. So we tried to figure out what dash is. We tried to figure out what the word threshing means, because we noted that it has clearly applications in many other contexts outside of the farm. And we wondered to what extent does it correlate to borer? Is it about separating things? Is it about extracting something? Is it about disconnecting something? Is it a davka preparation for borer but not borer? Is it a colleague of borer's? And we touched upon some discussions which all seem to have some relevance to this. First of all, the Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosfos, which is most clearly viewed through Tosfos' citation of Rashi, about whether mepharik in the case of the Gemara means that you are separating from the tree or that you are separating the food from its own encasement, separate from the fact that it's separated from the tree. We talked about the Rambam's formulation of Dash. We talked about the Rabbeinu Hananel statement that it's about preparing it for any one of the next three Zriya actions, which the Gemara has linked together, Borer, Zoro, Merakeh. In contrast to that, we mentioned the Miuchas Laran, who seems to identify Borer with those three or that set, and has a gear so that Borer is one of those. That's a significant point. Then we saw the whole question of Gedulei Karka come up again. The Tosa says if you're going to say that Mefarik is Dosh, so then you have a problem because Cholev is Mefarik, and Cholev deals with non-Gedulei Karka, and Disha only Gedulei Karka. We mentioned a couple of approaches. We discussed how tied we are into the Gemara above Metzia, which says Lo Sachtam Shor B'Disho, and tied with Gedulei Karka. So we mentioned some reasons to distinguish. That maybe Shabbos is different because there are toldos. It's not the same as the non-Shabbos related Gemara and Bav Metzia. Or maybe like the Aruch Lanier suggested that Shabbos is different because the Torah doesn't say Dosh by Shabbos. That's just the Mishnah's way of describing the Mishkan in action. But in the context of Osachim Shor B'Disho, we do have the word Dosh. And then we talked about different ramifications, that if it is to be compared to Borer, so which dinim apply? We talked about the din of Borer La'alter. To what extent does that apply to Dosh? We saw that was a machlokus between the Rashba and the Magen and the Taz on one side against the Magen Avraham on the other side. How does the Gedulei Karka question fit into that, which we don't seem to find by Dosh? What if it's not fully separated? We mentioned the Aruch on that. We mentioned we mentioned that the Yerushalmi seems to have a statement that Borer requires an absolute successful separating out, and we have to figure out if that's true when it comes to Dosh as well. We mentioned the Egli Tal's position that Dosh doesn't require actually connected. If one's inside of something, that's already enough. Then we discussed also the question of in Borer, we know that Ochem, Psolas are relative terms. Is that the case also in the case of Dosh? What if the two elements are both edible, that the Magen Avraham mentioned the Limitz Chus and quoted the Ma'aril in the other direction? And we mentioned also Rav Sipei Sach Frank's distinction between something which is naturally absorbed and something which is absorbed later, a distinction which doesn't exist in the context of Borer. So all of this, all going to the question essentially of whether Dosh is a form of Borer, is it a preparation for Borer, is it something completely different from Borer, is it a type of revealing the inner self, while not necessarily focusing on separation. And then we also made reference to the fact that there seems to be, at least many Rishonim feel, a basic definitional focus on needing that which is extracted, one that may even transcend Malacha Shenetzricha Legufa issues. So even the Rambam and the Yehuda might agree that if you don't need the item that is being extracted, maybe it's not Dosh at all, which is significant for the Tosfos Ayin Gimel in the days of Uftar Leitzim. It's significant for the Ran, which was interpreted as making a big statement about Toldos. And very relevant to Lacha L'maisa, comes up probably most prominently in the context of nursing and pumping, and both for humans and for animals, very relevant in both contexts, very major ramifications. So we will fill in a little bit more about that, God willing, on Monday. So again, tomorrow's Parsha Day, major. Don't miss it, and after that, I will see you next Sunday night.